members together and ask the clerk to call the roll so we can establish the presence of a quorum.
Ammons. Anderson. Beckett.
Here.
Benzel.
Here.
Betts.
Here.
Carter.
Here.
Coart. Dennis.
Here.
Gladney.
Present.
James.
Here.
Jay.
Here.
Jones.
Here.
Knott. Kurtz.
Here.
Langenheim.
Here.
McGinty.
Here.
Michaels.
Here.
Mosier. Nudo. O'Connor.
Here.
Richards. Rosales.
Here.
Sapp.
Here.
Schrader.
Here.
Schmucker.
Here.
Weibel.
Here.
Wysocki.
Here. For the presence of the quorum. Chair Weibel.
Yes, this one is forced out. Mr. Knott, probably the unavailable tonight. Ms. Ailes has a medical issue in the family. Mr. Wood is undergoing some medical treatment, and Mr. Moser is working on his therapy.
Thank you. I would like to make a motion to put the County Board resolution to meet as a committee as a whole.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Beckett. Second by Ms. Wysock. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. I would entertain the omnibus motion to approve the minutes of the Finance Committee meeting of November 5th, November 10th, the Policy Meeting of November 4th, and the Justice and Social Services Committee of October 5th, 2009. Moved by Mr. Sapp, seconded by Mr. James. Discussion. Additions or corrections? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Maintain the motion to approve the agenda and any addenda.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Beckett, seconded by Ms. Wysocki. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Public participation. I don't have any forms. Is there anyone wishes to participate? Seeing none, I declare public participation closed. Any communications from members of the board? Seeing none, we'll move on to finance. Mr. McGinty, welcome back to the board.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I apologize about my voice, but bear with me while we go through this first item. I'd like to entertain an omnibus motion for items A1 through 5. They're all related to the Early Childhood Fund. And that motion is made by Barbara, seconded by Steve Becker. Is there any discussion on those items? Farmer.
Yeah. Kathleen is... Could somebody go into a little bit more detail about the tenant-based rental assistance program? How much assistance can an individual receive? And are there certain kinds of rental properties that they can consider and still qualify for this program? How does this work?
Betty, would you mind coming up and addressing that? Is that possible? Hello?
Neither one of us are able to address the rental assistance program.
Oh, okay.
I could check with the corporate room. I'll get back to you.
Okay, thank you.
You mean the
pickings?
You usually know all these things.
Any other comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Next up, item 6, budget amendment 100017, $45,000 to appropriate funds required to pay outstanding expenses in a nursing home arbitration. Is there a motion for approval? By Steve Beckett, seconded by Pius. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries. Next, budget amendment 100024 for $65,000. An amendment to architect fees to appropriate funds required for the contract with IGW for county clerk election storage building, and an amendment to engineering fees for GHR a children replacement project at the downtown correctional center. Is there a motion for approval? By Walker, second by Pius. Any discussion? Stan.
Somebody correct me, but I thought we had set some limits. When I see they're both in, I know for the county clerk's office we had set 15,000, and then for the other work, I thought we had also set a limit. And then while I'm on that, just so I'm in the clear, because I noticed on the addendum we got A9, which somehow relates to this, but maybe it's because we're re-encumbering funds, which has nothing to do with the appropriations. But that 65,000, and I saw Steve had his hand up, but somebody would correct me, but I just thought we had set some limits on the A and B's.
Steve? Both numbers were discussed last week. 15,000 was a discussion from the board to not to exceed 15,000 on that project. And the 50,000, Mr. Gleason was up here. I asked him the range of the architect fees, and he recalled and said 10% was a $500,000 project. That's where the $50,000 came from.
Larry?
No, I just want to point out that it is outlined.
Any other questions on this item? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Next up, item 8, budget amendment 100023 for $15,000 to appropriate funds for the replacement of case station at the courthouse parking lot. Is there a motion for approval?
Second.
I'm sorry, who made the original motion? Larry. Seconded by Steve. Is there a discussion? Alan.
Just a quick question. Was I incorrect in thinking it was 7,500
and not 15,000? Larry? Larry? There are attachments at your desk tonight with regard to this specific issue. It's the supporting documentation for agenda item 8A8. You asked last week for information about income and expense with regard to the history of the pay station, which is on the first page. The cost of the original machine in 2003 was $7,665. And revenue and expenses for the operation of the pay station are all listed there on the first page of the attachment. And then you also asked at the last meeting about the possibility of using meters instead of a pay station. So we have for you in the supporting documentation the estimated cost of replacing the pay station, placing meters in the lot instead of the pay station. And the pay station is definitely the more economical option and the one that we would recommend just in terms of long-term operations. We are requesting the budget amendment be for up to $15,000 because we are still waiting for responses from two other vendors with regard to what they could provide. But we will go with the most responsive and best solution and don't expect it will be more than $15,000, which is why the budget amendment is presented to you in that amount.
John?
If we do build a pay station, will it fit for the open lease currently?
Yes, the structure that has been built to enclose the pay station will continue to work for
it. Stan.
So we'll just go back to a committee once all the folks come back to decide which would be best. Once the money is appropriated, someone else just make that decision.
Once the money is appropriated under the purchasing policy, it would be up to the department head, the facility director, in this instance, to follow the purchasing policy, which is to provide three quotes for similar function and then make the purchase if the appropriation is there.
Any other questions on this item? Al.
I see the total cost of the machine and the quote that $11,995.
That's a quote from one vendor.
Excuse me?
That is a quote from one of the vendors.
So we're figuring it might be so we have less than that and more spending.
Right, exactly.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Next up, we're going to go to the two addendums. First step is item number 9, budget amendment 100025 for $18,231 to re-encumber funds that weren't spent prior to November 30 from the original contract of $35,000 for engineering services on the engineering energy reduction grants chiller replacement project. So a motion for approval by John. Seconded by Ron. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion carries. Next up, item 10 from addendum 2. Budget amendment and transfer. This is a transfer 09-0018-0018 for $1,602 to cover benefit payout for retiring employee. Is there a motion for approval by Diane?
No. Oh, sorry. No.
Is there a motion for approval by Barbara? Seconded by Steve. Diane.
Please
use your microphone.
As a new person here or whatever, I really apologize. But we just have to ensure that I'm looking at them as quick as I can, and you are rattling numbers and names off as fast as I can flip my fingers here. And I would just appreciate it, like, 2 more seconds on the number of the transfer. The rest of it, I it's fine, I can catch up with, but if you just hit me with the number on the transfer just a little bit slower, just a couple times, I'd really appreciate it.
Okay.
I'll catch up later on, I promise.
Sure, Stan, did you have something?
No, I was just fixing my mind.
You got it? Okay. Is there any discussion on this item? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Now, before we continue, you know, these sheets go around for signature typically for the Finance Committee to sign off on. As we go through these amendments and transfers, if I could just ask tonight for the members of the committee to sign these, we're looking at the way for to sort of record all the members to be able to at least store the votes, et cetera. As we do it, obviously, in recording. We've always done it this way. It'll probably be modified, but for tonight, let's just have the Finance Committee sign it, simply because there's not room for everybody to sign it, okay? And now we'll go ahead and move on to hiring freeze and waiver requests. We have item B. We have three of them. The first one is a request to fill a part-time custodian position, and I would entertain a motion for approval on that particular item.
So moved.
So I have a motion by Steve Beckett, seconded by Pines. Is there discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
That motion carries. Next up is a request to fill an account clerk position in the Treasurer's Office. Is there a motion for approval?
So
by Sam, seconded by Steve Beckett. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Third, request to fill assistant public defender position.
So moved. Second.
Motion to approve by Steve, seconded by Al. Discussion.
I guess I really want to address all three of these requests tonight because in reading through the documentation and the rationale for making these requests, I have to admit, I'm getting a little disturbed about what's going on. It sounds to me that the word has sort of gotten out that in anticipation of the 3 month vacancy window, we've got people already kind of long enough to start moving with there's an assumption that, well, if they get through that 3 month time, they're going to be able to do this, so let's just get ahead of the game and start advertising, start interviewing, so we have somebody in place by that 3rd month. I understood the streams to be that it's not going to be a dumb deal. I mean, I think if, given the circumstances in a given department, that if they've demonstrated that they can do without a person for 3 months, I think the question becomes is, can you do it for 6? Can you do it for 9? And, you know, and kind of look at this as we go along, and circumstances change. But the impression I got from what I was reading is, well, if they don't give it to us now, they're going to give it to us in 3 months, so let's just get our request lined up at the door so we can do it first. Now, that's wrong on my part. I want someone to correct me. But I don't think that's the way we can do this experience.
I can't speak for the other two positions, but I know that the public defender's office is going from very, very, very bad to very, very, very worse. And this freeze really, really affects the quality of service that that office gives. And I just cannot imagine a situation where we would not allow that office to have the staffing that it needs.
Deb?
I would just like to remind the board that you have 30 fewer positions in the general corporate fund today than you did a year ago because of the hiring freeze, which was implemented a year ago. And I believe that almost all of our departments are now operating at what would be considered minimum staffing in order to get the job done. And a comparison that we have done of our department staffing, comparing them to similar sized counties in the same offices, for example, county clerk to county clerk, circuit clerk to circuit clerk, in mid-sized counties like Champaign, we are at a lower staffing level than most of our comparable counties are. And so I think what all three of these department heads are saying, and what I expect you will hear from most department heads throughout the year, that holding a position vacant for 3 months is difficult enough. And they're asking to have the approval to fill the position after having made the sacrifice of holding it vacant for 3 months. I can tell you in the treasurer's office alone, over the past month, there were probably 2 or 3 weeks where there were only 2 employees there all day long because they're down a position. And if anyone calls in sick or if anyone's on vacation, it's very difficult to operate with staffing levels that low. And I could provide back to the board the information about staffing level comparisons if you would like to see that again. We did it just a year ago, and I don't think it's probably changed drastically. And so I think that at this point in time, most of your department heads and officials would say to you, we've already made as much in terms of personal cuts as we can continue operating with the current levels of service.
Okay. So I guess I have been looking at this in the wrong way.
Well, I think a year ago, that made sense, but we have eliminated so many positions since we started this last February.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of departments never came and asked to fill positions that became vacant last year because they left them vacant through attrition.
So is it your, as the keeper of the budget, is it your position that the savings that you recognize for the 3 months in this case, in these three offices, is enough to keep the budget on track?
Yes.
Okay.
Ahead.
My question, because I think you kind of alluded to some of the other departments, possibly not, you know, maybe I can further sure what you said, but you know, as we see these three departments ask for one person back, how many other departments may be asking for one or an outside person? But honestly, probably taking away the 30 people did help keep the budget in balance. And I think we need to be very careful as we add to staff again that we don't get back up to where we were and finally get to be able to keep our budget balance.
If I may clarify, the 30 positions that have been vacated are not budgeted, and the department would not be able to add that position back without coming to you and asking for an additional position. These are positions that were budgeted for this fiscal year and become vacant during the year, and after 3 months, the department is asking for the approval to fill a budgeted position. Thank you.
Jan, then Ralph.
Okay, but I'm trying to say it looks like they're looking ahead, but yes, I agree with this. And knowing that in the public defender's office when they look at like, I guess our national staff, so what we would call the market, the ratio of lawyers to the cases is extremely high. And it's also looking at in February,
microphone, please?
These replacements, we could get along with one lawyer in the public defender's office, but we wouldn't have much of a very effective public defender's office. And we could get along with minimal service in the treasurer's office, but it would be very, very bad. I think the thing has to be judged in terms of the need for services and the ability to provide those services. And I think arguments presented for the public defender's position and the cop position are manifestly, obviously, adequate. We really need to have those people. Now, I'm not so sure about the part-time standard. You can cut, have dirty halls and dirty windows a lot more readily than you can have some guy and being represented by the public defender and having one man handling them all or two men handling them all. So I think that's the way we should judge as far as we can really need it. And I think the argument for the public defender is based on that and for are convincing.
Other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. That's it for that section. Next up is the county administrator's report. Deb.
You have at your desk tonight also one of the blue cover sheet documents for the county administrator's report. The final general corporate fund report and the revenue on the first page coming in at right at $1.7 million less than what was originally projected, which brings the revenues in at 95% of what was projected. There are not really any surprises. We had been anticipating a shortfall in non-business license and permits, and then in the state shared revenues, the corporate personal property tax, the sales tax, the income tax. The income tax shortfall was greater than anticipated, as was the shortfall in interfund transfers, which appears closer to the bottom of the page, and I will touch on those in just a moment. Overall, revenue is down 7.7% over what was received in fiscal year 2008, which is fairly consistent with what we had been projecting throughout the year. On expenditure, one other thing on revenues I'd point out is that the general government and fines revenue actually came in at about 8.5% over fiscal year 2008. This is a very positive and solid reflection on the operation of your offices, particularly the criminal justice system, which generates the majority of the fees and fines revenue. And that is good news in terms of this overall budget for fiscal year 9. On the expenditures page, you see that we underspent the budget by $1.375 million. We spent about 96% of the budget, which is, again, less than we had been anticipating. We thought we would spend between 97 and 98% of the budget, so this is good news. Overall, we spent 8.5% less than we spent in fiscal year 2008 and 2009. And then when you look at the third page, which is the impact on the general corporate fund balance, you see that the fund balance, the deficit of revenue to expenditure for the fiscal year is $543,855. And again, that is higher than what has been projected in the projection reports for the past several months. The bottom line is the overall fund balance at the end of the year, when you subtract out the outstanding loan to the nursing home, is $1,520,772, or 4.64%, and is a $500,000 improvement over where that fund balance was when the fiscal year began. Now, why the increase in the shortfall? If you look on the next page, page 4, you'll see outlined revenues that have always been projected that would be received and were not received in fiscal year 2009. The first are a number of transfers, interfund transfers, and these will be executed so that they will be done in the next month or so. We sent out reminders and somehow they just did not get done before the end of the fiscal year. But they will, so there's $134,000 there that will come back to the general corporate fund balance. Then the other portion of it is we have historically received 12 months of income tax and use tax revenue from the state, and this year we did not. We received only 10 months. So the shortfall there is a total of about $367,000. The combination of those two is $502,592. And when that is taken into consideration, we basically operated 09 with a balanced budget with only a $41,000 shortfall, which means our operating expenses are matching our operating revenues, which is exactly where we want to be. And they, these totals that were spent and received in 09 are very closely matched to the budget for fiscal year 2010. So if we are able to continue holding the line, and as long as none of the revenues decrease more than what we've already experienced in 09, the fiscal year 2010 budget should be able to hold true.
Questions for Deb? Brad?
Yeah, could you go back to what you said a minute ago about the fines? How much of that is frequently seen normally hired?
None of it in fiscal 09. We are just now beginning to receive revenue from the contract with Eric and Miss. It took 60 to 90 days before we would start seeing that revenue coming in. So none of it was in fiscal 09. I have not yet seen a report, but I think we're just on the brink of starting to receive that. And we will have a monthly report for you so that you can see what that is generating. We're still working on getting it all set up and how it's going to be, but we will have that.
Other questions on this report? There's any motion to accept this report that's on file by Brad, seconded by Al. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
The next is the General Corporate Fund Budget Change Report for fiscal 2010. And this just shows the changes that have been adopted to the 2010 budget since it began on December 1st. And basically, we've increased it by just about 0.5%. The expenditure excess over revenue at this point on paper is $6,000. Most of these are re-encumbering funds and then the reinstatement through an increased revenue of 2 foot of dispositions, which we did last month.
Questions for Deb? Motion to accept advice? By Romaldo, seconded by Stan. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
The next item is a recommendation for an amendment to the hiring freeze resolution. There has been some discussion about what was intended by the hiring freeze resolution. And on pages 49 and 50 of the resolution as it is currently written, and 47 and 48, a recommendation for a change, which is effectively in the first paragraph of the now therefore be it resolved clause. And this is basically stating that a department head who has an employee leave may have internal movement within that department to affect the best operation of the department and managing within the budget of that department. So this occurred, one of the first hiring freeze requests that the Finance Committee received last summer was from a circuit clerk who had lost a deputy circuit clerk / translator and came to the board to ask to fill that, came to the Finance Committee to ask to fill that position. She had a current employee who was a deputy clerk who had the ability to be the translator. It's a promotion to be moved to the translator position because of the extra skill set that's required for that position. And effectively, she was told that she had the ability to move her current employee into the translator position so that her operation could continue, but that the position that became last vacant after internal movement within the department is a position that should be held vacant for under the terms of the hiring freeze. That is how the hiring freeze policy has been interpreted throughout the past year since it was adopted by me as your personnel director. And so other departments have had similar kinds of movements, always holding the last position to become vacant within the department, vacant pursuant to the hiring freeze. paragraph one just spells that out so that it's clear to everyone that is the intent of the hiring freeze.
Questions for that?
Move approval.
Motion by Steve. Second. Second by Geraldo. Discussion.
That's the roll call.
Is there a second for the roll call? Woody, Frank?
We'll do it.
We'll go ahead and roll call. Cat, please.
Okay. Anderson?
Yes.
Beckett?
Yes.
Benzel?
Yes.
Betts?
No.
Carter? Was that a yes or no sign? Sorry.
I
didn't understand. Yes or no?
Yes or no on the vote?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Was it yes or no? No? Dennis?
Yes.
Gladney?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Knott? Kurtz?
Yes.
Langenheim?
Yes.
McGinty?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
O'Connor?
No.
Rosales?
Yes.
Sapp?
Yes.
Schrader?
Yes.
Schmucker?
No.
Weibel?
Yes.
Wysocki?
Yes.
Motion carries.
The next item is a recommendation regarding the Downtown Correctional Center chiller replacement project and how that project is to be funded pursuant to the direction given by the Committee of the Whole last week under the county facility. And this is, again, with the handouts for tonight. In starting on page 6 of those handouts, there is a memo from the sheriff with regard to the chiller replacement project, followed by a memo from me and options for funding. And I don't know if you want the sheriff to speak to it.
Would the board like to hear from the sheriff on this? As he nods, yes. Sheriff, please.
I don't know that I have much to add to that memo. I mean, for years on and off, we've talked about the problems with the downtown facility. They exist. We've had certain prisoner numbers that also exist, and they have to have a decent place to stay. We have to conform to the state statutes. You know, if it was my money, I don't want to put my money into something, a lot of money into something that's not going to have long-term benefit. That's why I met with Deb and with Alan, and we talked about that we have alternatives besides sinking, you know, $500,000 into that thing. So I think it's reasonable to just do the first portion. And what I'm trying to say in that memo is I think we can do it, but it doesn't take a whole lot for our apple cart to be upset, our prisoner numbers to go up, and then if we were to have problems, I could have difficulty running with foot folks if we had a breakdown for a while. So basically I'm saying I can't compare it any better other than the tire example I gave you. You know, we don't have another vehicle. We have to use the old time mileage vehicle, and I think we have to patch the tire as much as I hate to do that.
I would just follow that up with basically what we're recommending is phase one only of this project, which is the replacement of the chiller and tower. We already have backup equipment, if not brand new equipment, that should be helpful. The Alan Reinhart, the facility director's opinion, is similar to the sheriff's, that with a new chiller and tower, we will have a new warranty. So if the total system failed, it would be subject to being replaced under the warranty. The worst case is that a part fails and it takes a week to get a part, and that's where the sheriff has offered an operational solution if that should occur during the time in which we need the chiller operating at full capacity. So with the recommendation to execute only phase one of the project, you at the last meeting, the whole meeting under facilities, recommended phases 1 through 3. We are asking that you amend that recommendation to include only phase 1, which has an estimated cost of $200,000, which I would also add will have an impact on the earlier budget amendment as well for the engineering fees. They will also be less than the not to exceed $50,000 amount. We don't know how much less at this point, but they will certainly be less based on the scope of the project having been decreased from what was originally anticipated. The other issue, because we need to keep this project moving forward in order to get this project done in time to have the chiller in place when the warm weather hits in June, the other issue for you was the need to identify for you what are the funding options for paying for this project. And now it's, instead of $500,000, it's $200,000. That does make it much more manageable. In my opinion, we have three options. The first is that you would pay for it from the general corporate fund, but the general corporate fund balance is not terribly healthy yet, and I believe that would lead to cash flow problems for the general corporate fund. The second option is to pay for it from the public safety sales tax fund. I believe this is an option. It will have a marginal impact on the future capability of the sales tax fund to absorb additional debt for what we've always had in the sales tax long-term projections, replacement of the facility downtown for a downtown correctional center at the satellite jail somewhere in the 2013-year range. It could have a slight impact on the capacity for debt issuance for that project. The last option would be to issue debt in the amount of $200,000, and because the cost of issuance of debt is going to be probably at least $80,000, it's not something that I would recommend for this project at this time. So I'm recommending that you appropriate the $200,000 for this project from the public safety sales tax fund to the capital facilities fund budget so that this project can be completed. The last few pages of the handout, pages 10 through 13, give the long-term public safety sales tax fund budget overview. And you can see we've added this $200,000 expense in fiscal year 2010. And what this demonstrates is that there would be some difficulty in fiscal years 2017 to 2019 to cover the debt issue that we anticipate would begin. And we would issue the debt in 2013, the debt repayment would begin in 2014. But again, that's a ways away, and we can structure debt when we issue it based on what our income is. If you carry it through to the long-term future after 2020 to 2022, the fund begins to become very healthy based on the current requirements that are paid from the public safety sales tax fund. So, the recommendation is that you approve appropriating the $200,000 from that source for this project.
Is there a motion to that effect?
So,
or a small separate motion? That motion by Steve Beckett. Is there a second? By Barbara. Discussion, Sam.
Can you remind us, we approved phase 2. Can you remind us what those phases included? What are we talking about?
Replacing the second chiller and efficiency upgrades that had an additional cost. Replacing the second chiller was $201,000 and efficiency upgrades was $105,000.
How necessary? So, I guess my memory is that the second chiller is actually functioning now.
But we have done considerable repair to the second chiller in the last year. Is that true?
And it is
sorry, Sheriff, we need you at the mic. Sorry. Just stand up here.
That's very nice. The building has some building redundancies, and if this new chiller were to go out tomorrow and the old ones continue to function, it gives us some capacity, but it's not enough to cool the whole building once it gets, I can't bless you all exactly, but once it gets around 70, a little above 7 degrees, the smaller chiller that exists there will not cool it. So guess I'm glad you said it. What I'm trying to say is, I think this will work, but it might not. So I don't know if somebody's going to be sure if he guarantees this, this will work. I hope it will.
Would a new chiller, would a new second chiller improve that situation? Is that why? What's the original recommendation to that? What do you get by adding a second chiller and using it?
Redundancy if the main chiller goes out, that would adequately cool the building. In that instance, where we have to order a part, and it's going to take a week for us to get in for the main chiller. The sheriff offered an operational solution where he will try to house more inmates at the satellite facility. We wouldn't have to do that if the second chiller were replaced.
Okay, well, the current chiller is more adequately
the current backup. That's correct.
Yeah, please. And then the energy efficiency part of it, which can you explain what exactly that involves?
I'm sorry. I can't really tell you what the efficiency of those are going to accomplish.
Stan?
The problem I have with this, because when we first talked about this, I brought up that you're going up there, you're looking at it, you're having the engineers look at it on that second chiller. We put so much money into it, and I forget the age of it. But you're tying in two systems that have to work basically as one if one fails, the other one kicks in and takes over. So my concern is you're going to pay this engineer to go up there, and he's going to give you the scope of work on this one item that may or may not work, as we're hearing. Plus, you're up on the roof, right?
Correct.
And historically, when we start tearing in the clock towers or anything else, we end up with some roofing work. So it seems like to me, with Keith telling the job, because that's the only solution at this point that we have, and I keep saying we need to really look at it, come back with some numbers, and I've said this before, and I know I get some moans and groans, but we do have $200,000 that this board has done by resolution to go to support other intention or youth delinquency, I guess is the proper term. You know, I know it's not stone, but when we have a crisis like this or we need money on these things that the tax was set up for, I think we got to look at that and say, well, you know, it's a tough year. Can we take that money and use it and help pay this off and then restart that program when the funds are there? But to always piecemeal stuff, we're throwing good money after bad sometimes, and we need to do some of this work logically and have some time. And I know it's an emergency, and I know it's a rush job, but if we put it up there and it doesn't work, it's also going to be an emergency. So, you know, all this thing's thrown at us, and we really don't have time to digest it or really talk about it. We're just told this is what needs to be done. And I'm getting tired of supporting things that we end up paying hundreds of thousands of dollars or more for. And we really need to be more conservative or look at the issue. Not conservative, that's probably not the right phrase at this time. But I'm just afraid we're going to do this work and the technology's changed. And from what I, a little bit I know about some of that stuff, I think we'll be in a bigger mess trying to get it to where it all ties in like we have with the court security system and everything else. But that's my pitch.
Other comments? One.
I actually understand why it is. What committee is that coming out of? The reason I'm asking is because past practice, that was something the justice committee, somebody would go over there. It's a facilities issue. I think it came out of facilities.
We discussed it last week.
Well, see, that's the reason I have a problem with that. Why isn't it come to the committee? Should be. We go over there and make a study and bring it back to the board. You have something to work with instead of some haphazard stuff that you don't even know what's going to work or not. And this has been the problem for some time with this board.
Steve?
Jack, yeah, it's very thorough discussion of this with the engineer last week, and I thought he did a good job of explaining that this could be done in phases. His recommendation would be to do it all. Money is obviously a problem. We could have differing philosophies, as Mr. James has. We have to have an effective HVAC system at that jail when the temperature hits. We have to solve the problem.
can talk to us, philosophy all we want, we have to solve the problem. Otherwise, we're going to have more population than we have correctional facility, and then you want to talk about spending some money. We're really going to be spending some money.
Comments, Diane.
I just have a quick question here. What exactly would it take to do it right? I appreciate that we're wanting to do it in parts because of it, and I think it's important to get this done, but what actually would make it right instead of a piece of it? I mean, is it another 50 or another
500,000 total.
And it had to be done all in one piece?
It would be done in phases.
So this first phase would work, it would be effective. I think that's the question we're getting out of the next.
That's correct. The first phase would be effective. There would be a recommended second phase that would be designed by the engineer as part of the overall project. When it came time for that phase, there would be bids let for the work done. When that was done, we'd move into the third phase, which was the energy efficiency phase. But, of course, we don't know where the funding's coming for phase two or phase three. The commitment that we made last week was to all three phases, understanding we would have to make a decision tonight about where the money was coming from.
Stan?
Well, when Steve alluded to the engineering thing, again, that was a brief discussion. It wasn't in depth by any means. And my problem is we just have been working on this nursing home issue where we ended up putting in booster fans and retrofitting, and there still is going to be some long-term problems there, as we all know. And if the issue would be looked at and discussed a little bit more. And I know I keep hearing money's tight, money's tight, money's tight, but it seems like every time I come to these meetings, we're making budget amendments for something, and we need to focus on, as I've heard here tonight, on what really is important. I mean, we could, some of the projects we're doing, I'm sure we could relook at and say, do we really need to do that work? Is it that important? Stuff like this that is life safety issues in my mind needs to be done. And again, I go back, the cost, and the engineer alluded to it while he was up there, because I asked the question, you go up there now and spend $200,000, and granted it may cost $500,000, but then when they go back 3 years from now or 2 years from now, guess what, folks? You're going to pay higher because they have to redo everything they've already looked at. So we're chasing our tail sometimes by spending money by piecemealing. And all I'm asking for is to let the engineer give us a good report with some figures before we go ahead and start these phases. And what's another month?
Ralph and Sam.
Can somebody tell me if phase one and plus phase two would put us in a secure position, phase three's energy efficiency, is that actually necessary to make the thing work? Does anybody know? In other words, you do phase one, phase two, and forget about the rest of it, and pay higher cost for energy.
Mr. Gleason said yes. You could do it in any combination you wanted.
Sam?
Do you remember what was developed if we do them in a piecemeal way? Will we be making estimates that phase two might be more expensive if we end up doing it? We have to go in, so we do the pieces that we already put in place. But I just don't know how this all fits together.
Zeb?
Mr. Gleason provided, and you all have this, it was in last week's Committee of the Whole agenda, so you can all go back and refer to this memo. But his recommendation was based on, he assumed that you would only be proceeding with phase one. So I believe his estimates for each phase of the project are his best estimates based on what he knows with as far in depth to the project he's done without completely engineering it, would be his best estimates for the cost, and he did not anticipate that all three phases would be done together. So his estimate for phase two is $201,100. And when he estimated $195,000 for phase one, he was assuming that, his memo assumed that you would be directing he proceed with phase one only. I would also just point out that in that memo, he provides a time frame, and in order to have this done by mid-May, it had to start this month.
Right.
In your mind, Doug, do you imagine that we can do phase two within a year, or come back about this time next year and think about doing, I guess, Do you have a thought on where this is going?
I think the sheriff's point, and a point that I would make as well, is that if phase one can possibly work for 5 years and you are going to consider doing something different with that building, that it doesn't make sense to also do phase two and sink another $200,000 into a building which you may not be continuing to operate in the future for this function. And that was the sheriff's concern, and it is a concern I've heard from other officials of the criminal justice system, that they hoped we weren't going to just put $500,000 into this building, which this board has talked about in the past, replacing that operation by adding on to the satellite rail. So I think that was part of the reason for the sheriff's recommendation, which I would concur with.
John.
The problem is we can't fix tonight. I mean, I don't want to dwell on this. The bigger problem to this isn't this particular chiller. It's the fact that we as a board, we as a county, have not been able to set up adequate funding to maintain the buildings that we're building. We build them like crazy, but we haven't set up the necessary funds to maintain these things. And these are the kinds of problems we have. Just stuck that in the back of your mind, because we really need to address that sometime.
Other comments? We have a motion on the floor. Lloyd?
We have an engineer that's looking at this. Are we allowed to ask him for a question?
He's not in attendance tonight.
He was here last week.
At the facility at the last week. So he's not here to answer questions tonight.
Well, is it worth doing something tonight that's going to haunt you 6 months or a year from now? Or, you know,
keep
I understand
it. Keep in mind, this is just a committee of the whole meeting. It still has to go to the full board.
Can you be invited to the full board this week, next week, so we can answer those questions? When I make a final disposition next week, not tonight, and I would just push it forward to the full board.
I would assume that we can make the request. Don't know about his availability.
Well, see, this is the problem. Yeah. I'm like Mr. James over there. We build the courthouse, and I think right now we celebrate the opening, which he thought was done. And every time we turn around from that point up to now, we still spend the money to get the thing done. And I don't think Dr. Matt is still completely done. And that's why we ask him these questions. We can't keep on going down the road and make the same mistake. At some point, people have started correcting ourselves. Now, if that's so important that we are not allowed to ask the engineers, which we need to, so we can figure out what are we doing? What are we giving him?
He was at the facilities committee meeting, at the last committee of the whole meeting. So there was opportunity at that point to ask those questions. And there may be an opportunity at the next full board meeting if we make that request for him to attend.
Well, I would appreciate it if he had to come to the full meeting just a minute to take it again. And we could have went over and kept him, you know, dirty the thing and rolled back a conclusion.
Chris,
a complete study of the thing would have to be here. You don't know what you're really finding.
Chris? Request by Chris to call the question.
Second.
All right, we have several seconds by Stan Lundin. All in favor of calling the question?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. All those in favor of the motion on the floor, which, to remind you, is to pay for this particular issue through the public safety sales tax fund as recommended by the administrator, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
That motion carries. Thank you. Item number five, County Administration.
Items five and six are similar. They are resolutions authorizing loans to the general corporate fund, one from probation service fees in the amount of $600,000, and one from the recorder automation fund in the amount of $400,000. In review of our cash flow with the treasurer, even though there is a loan from public safety to general corporate, we anticipate that cash flow requirements may require these additional loans to get through May when we first start collecting property tax revenue. As you will recall, last year we had to do almost $3 million in loans from Interfund, so this is some improvement, but we still have a need for this to ensure cash flow for the general corporate operations.
Entertain the omnibus motion for items 5 and 6. Omnibus by Steve O'Connor, seconded by Ralph. Okay, seconded by Ralph. Discussion on those two items. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next up, the nursing home. Ed, thank you, Deb. Is that it from your report?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Next up, the nursing home financial report from January 6th. It's on pages 53 to 65 of your packet. I'll just mention three things before any other discussion. Three things that caught me from this report were the numbers, going from $1.8 million of loss last year to what I understand the projections to be about $180,000 this year is where we'll probably end up. It's quite a bit of progress. We're not where we need to be yet, but that's a lot of progress. $1.8 million to $180,000. The other thing is agency cost has been a concern for years now, as many of us know, and those numbers have been dropping, and there are reasons for that, and we've worked in that area. And finally, the big thing that's going to push this census, we need 190 to 195. I talked with Alan Newton, who's not here tonight, earlier this evening, that he's on that board. Jan, you know this obviously from being on that board, that census is critical. And so these are very good things. But things are still very tenuous. Jan.
I was just going to say that this just came out of those numbers have been kind of a little bit more kind of up and down. I could get above the 185, like you said, for the other census was 189.
That's surprising because the numbers, the mission numbers that have although the hospital's been up, and that's usually an indicator, at least according to Scavato, on what the nursing home that we can see has increased numbers as well. Is that correct? Other comments on the report? Entertain a motion to place it on file.
So
motion by Stan, seconded by Bart. Discussion on that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Treasurer is not here this evening. You see his monthly report with you. It was distributed this evening. And I'll entertain a motion to accept and place that on file by Brad, seconded by Bart. So discussion on that monthly report. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, that motion carries. Also, there's a resolution authorizing the county board chair to send a mobile home tax sales certificate of purchase, permit parcel number 03002029. So, motion for approval on that by Barbara, or second by Chris. Discussion on that issue. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, that motion carries. Auditor. Tony.
On your desk, you should have the purchases not filing purchasing policy report. It's a two-pager. There's a lot on it, but most of that is because of the time of year. We just switched over to the new fiscal year, and we've got fiscal year 09 expenditures paid for this fiscal year in FY10. We give, by policy, all departments 30 days to clear off previous year, so you'll see that those don't start until December 30th. And so all of those last year paid this year are from December 30th until today. If there are any questions on the report other than that, we have to answer them.
Questions for Tony? Steve?
Tony, there's one item that kind of stands out to me, the Sears commercial account for appliances, $1,400. How could that not be done in accordance with policy? Could people just walk into Sears and buy something without asking your permission?
Well, yes. On that specific case, I don't know, just with the amount, the department would certainly have the authority to do that. I think the only reason it's on here is because of the fact that it was purchased November 20th, which is the last fiscal year, and we're only paying that, we're only getting the voucher to pay it here in January. The only reason it's on there.
If there are, in fact, people out buying things from Sears, and we don't find out about it until they hit the sheet,
I'm not
comfortable with that.
Well, you know, the board adopted a credit card policy, and so a lot of them, you know, there's the normal purchasing policies, and this would be certainly a lot of those, but the credit card policies is even less control than we had a couple years ago. Any other questions on the purchases list? See none. I have this just for informational purposes tonight, particularly for newer board members. You'll see this again at the full board meeting where it requires board approval. This is just information tonight. And I also have in your packets the monthly report, and I would appreciate a motion to accept that and place it on file.
Is there such a motion? By Brent, seconded by Carl. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Tony. Is there any other business? Or finance? Same.
Just one thing. I just want to reiterate a request to have the engineer who did the work on the chiller and just request that he come to the solar ordinance. If there are further questions.
Very good. Any other business findings? There's no chair's report. The items for consent agenda are all of the budget amendments and transfers except items 7 and 8, and that includes the addendum. Also, under B, just items 2 and 3, under the county administrator.
Item B, none of those go before board, so I'll return them right here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, thank you. Under the county administrator's report, items 5 and 6 will go to consent. Treasurer's report, item 2, and I believe that is it. So, with that, Mr. Vice Chair, thank you, and we'll move on to yours.
From policy personal appointments this evening, we have Champion Southwest Mass Transit District. Mr. Chairman, you're appointing
for second term, Mr. Stephen Hahn from January 22nd, 2010 to December 31st, 2014.
Is there a second for that motion?
Second.
Second, then, Mr. Schrader, discussion. All those in favor signify by
aye.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair, were there any other applicants or nominees? A year ago, I recall this representation that this group would be looking into addressing the transportation needs of the people within their jurisdiction, the residents within their jurisdiction. All I know is what I read in the paper. What I read in the paper is that they have meetings where they talk about only raising enough money to pay their lawyers and not addressing the transportation needs of anybody. That's something that they'll do when they win in court or something like that. Am I making any of that up?
I would concur with the decision.
All right. What happens if we don't approve this nominee?
I'm not sure on that.
So if we approve it and it goes to full board, would you check that question?
I would check that question. Yeah, I remember we talked about it before, but like
I know.
This
is the same discussion that we had when Mr. Vaughn was there, but he came to the meeting and responded, I may be making this up, I may be a lunatic, but I swear These were things that he said.
That's what I remember reading in the paper, and it struck me as strange to quote him. I think it was from him indicating some pride in the fact that the money was worth for something around $40,000 as well as spending for the paying the lawyers. And that kind of surface it really bothers me. And I don't know why the taxpayers in the district are concerned for paying $40,000 and providing those services.
Mr. Fitz, I think that's correct. But I also think I do remember that we had a discussion about that. And because it was in litigation, we decided to set it aside until the litigation was completed. If I remember correctly, that was also part of the conversation that we were waiting for the judge's decision on whether the entity would actually be allowed to exist.
Mr. Lovico, I'm going to vote against this. I do not support maintaining a dog in the main. Mr. Schmucker,
I don't know if you can cut off the my memory is that I believe it was Mr. Dawn that issued it. Last time, I believe that Mr. Peckett asked him directly, are they going to begin researching the providing of services? And he said yes, they would. That would be sort of on their agenda. That's not the case. There was no way of how it possibly exists. Yes.
So is there a vacancy now, or is somebody still serving a term and it's expired?
This is a reappointment.
Reappointment. So basically, if we don't appoint, my understanding is when you serve on a board, your term just goes on until someone else is appointed to fill your seat. And if they are doing anything, as I'm hearing, we could all say that's government at best.
Mr. Schmucker,
I'm
January 22nd, 2010 to December 1st, 2014.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. James. Discussion. All those in favor signify by raising aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. The Pinfield Water District Board to complete the Mary Miles term from 1/22/2010 to 12/31/2013.
My nomination is Melchiana Saltino.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. James. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. For your information, this is just the appointments expiring 2010. It's a style of a landscape design. Folks that are interested in serving the various communities that is Shelby County. We have a matter from the Court of Policy and Compliance with House Bill 0547, House Bill 5586. Is there a motion? Social Security numbers and privacy.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. James. Second by Mr. Weibel. Discussion. All those in favor, Mr. James.
On that information only, and I know I'm backing up. I've always had this question, and so if you can entertain my question, I would appreciate it.
I cannot entertain the questions on the motion on the floor.
Oh, there you go.
Order. But I will be glad to go back to it.
I'll call you later.
Okay. We have a motion on the floor. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. The chair, at its discretion, is going to refer to Mr. James so that he can ask this question right in the court.
I get asked this question all the time when people talk to me about appointments, and I know you have to go through the county website or contact PIAS, but on that list, are some of those positions paid for positions?
Very rarely.
because I've always heard the water and some of those drainage do pay their board members for me.
Sanitary district pays. MTD, I think it's the same stipend as the current board members, it's $45.
But then most of the other sanitary boards and most of them do not get paid.
I don't think most cemetery boards do.
Okay, thank you.
I don't consider that they're scrambled to apply to get $10, but it is good information to have. The Connie Kirk monthly fees report, I would entertain a motion to place on file October, November, and December, and the semi-annual report. Move by Mr. Kurtz. Second. Second by Mr. Langenhaus. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Other business, I don't have other business. The chair's report. We have a draft ordinance. It's not a discussion tonight. This is so that we can hold a public hearing, which is the previous system that we had of the county board. We brought back to a 6-month plan of discussing county board reform. And this is the next item up, is the size of the structure of the county board itself. And on the back, we'll find this draft, which is the proposal of the chair. It is not written in stone. Any member may propose matters. This is for a public hearing in February of the committee of the whole, in which we would have our regular policy meeting. We would then adjourn into a public session, which would widely conduct a public meeting for folks to discuss county board issues in terms of multi-member, single-member, size of the county board, the structure of the county board. So we would want to get that out if you have any of the notes, I suppose, that are interested in county government, the League of Women Voters, the NAACP, the Urban League, the Farm Bureau, the Institute of Government Relations on campus. We have a lot of folks at Chamber of Commerce that have interest in this type of structural issue, and certainly we'll hear from them, as well as just the average citizen that has a profound interest because they ultimately pay the bills. And that's what that is about. That is not the last matter that we have in terms of the performance agenda. There's others coming up with a captured original schedule. We lost schedule, but we're getting there. So that's, here's an announcement tonight. Once again, so people are reminded that this is going forward. Yes, Brad.
In February, for the county board, will we be voting on this?
I did not have it as an agenda item simply because we need to be able to hear from folks before we decide. And I think it's going to take a lot more discussion than one meeting is going to allow. We really want to have public involved, board involved, and we may, if you guys want to have at least a second meeting, you might even want to meet with groups, but that's up to the committee. But I did not kind of have it as an action item, so I think it's pretty easy to railroad into a position just because a bunch of people are showing up to meet. It does not mean that the other side is going to represent it. It's just that.
How can we make recommendations to
it that's not you can take a straw poll, you can do any number of things. Again, there's only one draft, and I think I would be anticipating other members of the board proposing other ordinances in terms of size of the board, keeping it the same. And then Mr. McGinnis at one point had it, and then Mr. Knott had drafted a proposal for an 18-member two district board. And so I think there's a lot of other ideas out there as well. So I think what this is a firm education study process, and then when you've got enough information, then you sort of make the formal motion. So it goes up or down, and then as the body sees it. Mr. Hart.
Who has a problem with the size of the group?
There's all sorts of people that have a problem. There's all sorts of people that don't have a problem. What we did as a policy committee some months ago is we set up a structure, a 6 to 7 month structure, just to discuss all sorts of important issues in terms of whether we have an elected recorder, elected auditor, elected this or that. We are talking about whether they have a home rule, whether they have an elected administrator. We have gone through a lot of these issues slowly but surely. This is one more issue. We still have another one coming up in terms of should we elect the county board chair? Or should they, and if we were to do that at large, should it have to be a member of the county board? There's a whole series of these agenda items that the policy committee asks the chair to create a structure for doing it. And that's what we're carrying out. It's what the old policy committee asked to be done. And we just because we switched to this system did not make that stop. Mr. Beckett.
No, that issue about the elected chair is for a future agenda?
I thought it would be better in March, because I think the size of the worries is such a huge...
I was just asking, yes, and what about redistricting?
Redistricting, we did not have on that agenda, on that structure, so we could get no census data whatsoever.
Well, but if we wait until we have census data before we start the process, I mean, is there any reason why we can't begin discussion on that?
There's not no reason to still have any data to work with. So.
I understand, but we have a track record of redistricting, so we know how we did it before, and we can look at that and see if we want to do it some other way. Because the data sort of plugs in later.
Okay.
Well, I'm interested in that.
Well, I'm also interested in that. One of the things I did while I've been out was getting in contact with Professor Rich, who's helped us before, about that and other issues, in an effort to try to take some of the politics out of this and to try to make it as scientific as possible. That's one issue that I'm certainly interested in, and in having the involvement of his office, who's helped us quite a bit before with our strategic planning process and some of the reform issues as well.
Two other parties, I didn't even get a chance to ask them to look for my course.
What is the rest of your question?
Well, my district is not, you know, I haven't heard anybody, and it's telling me just often what you are saying. They don't have any problem. The fact of the matter is, they wonder what. That, you know, you're not working with the people that you have in the county, giving them what to do to serve the county. Instead of cutting them out like you're doing.
And that may be the case with this. This is on the agenda because members of the board have created the reform agenda of the policy committee. And the draft proposal you have, so there's some way to have the discussion about the size of the proposed board, unless you want to just discuss things in the abstract, which we can do. That is a proposal. It is not the beginning, it is not the ending. It's certainly other ideas out there. So some of the drafted proposals says we should keep 27 board with 3 for district. There's nothing stopping other proposals, Mr. James.
I was going to say that I was glad that Steve and Brendan brought that issue up, because I sort of think that when we're talking about the board and the size of the board, that would go hand in hand. And I would hope that once we do sit down, that it's fairly done and across the board, but maybe not even the politician involved, if need be. And hopefully that edge of sketch machine they used last time will be thrown out.
Okay. That's not an action agenda item for this evening, it's just an announcement. Designation of items to be placed on the consent agenda. Everything is on consent except the Southwest Mass Transit District member. Mr. Bradley.
Good evening. I would entertain a motion to accept and place on file the reports for animal control for September, October, November 2009, coroner for August 2008, February 2009, April 2009, Emergency Management Agency for October, November of 2009, Probation and Court Services for September, October, November 2009, and a Public Defender for August, September, October of 2009.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Rosales, seconded by James. Denise, yes.
Yes. Diane just asked me where the reports were so we can tell the members that don't know where they are, where they are.
They are available on each department. Pretty much what your agenda says, on each department's webpage at the Champaign County website.
That takes
their moment. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Is there any other business for justice? Under Chair's report, just a couple things. You all have at your desk tonight a flyer about the upcoming Martin Luther King Countywide Celebration annual event. The dedication of everyone at home as well. There's a celebration at the Hilton Garden Inn this Friday, the 15th, from 4 to 5 p.m. In celebration of Dr. King. It's free and open to the public. Also, the Offshoot Committee of Justice, the Citizens Advisory Committee for Jury Selection, will be having its next meeting on Friday, the 22nd of this month, at the Brookings Administrative Center in the Jenny Cutler Meeting Room. There are no items for the consent agenda. I want to entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second by Rosales. In favor?
Aye.
All right. Good night.